We shall mount up with wings like eagles. We will soar and not get tired. We'll walk and not be faint. Shut it up. And they were all in one house. And when the Holy Spirit came and descended on them, they had fire of tongues on their heads. And they had the tongues of men and angels in their mouths. And the power of heaven came down and incorporated the 120 in the upper room. And they turned the world upside down. They turned the world upside down. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for a fresh anointing of the Pentecost Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke with other tongues, and prophesied. Father, we prophesy over the spheres of influences that we have, Father, that you'll give us wisdom, you'll give us fire, you'll give us insight, you'll give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're saying to the church today, what you're saying to each one of us today. And Father, we thank you that even in the midst of the video that was shown, Father, as we think about the world's on fire. The world is absolutely on fire. But God, you have a better fire. Come on. You got a better fire. You got the fire of Pentecost. You have the fire of heaven. In Jesus' name, Lord, we want the fire of heaven in our spirits and our souls, Father, that we would be sold out for you. Walking in your power. Walking in your strength. Mounting up like wings of eagles, Father. And Lord, I'm thankful that when we get battle weary, you lift us up. You dust us off. You breathe a freshness into us. You just breathe into us. Aren't you thankful for that? He breathes that fresh spirit in us when we need it. Hallelujah. Come on, let's be real. Sometimes we do get a little tired. Sometimes we go, really? You know? But yet God lifts us up. Because he is the glory and the lifter of our heads. He's the filler of our souls and our spirits with the power of heaven that we can go forth and do the work of the kingdom. So God, release a fresh power in us today. Release a fresh Pentecost in us today, Father, for the days and the weeks and the months ahead, Father. I thank you for that spirit of faith that rests upon our backs, Lord, and it infiltrates our spirits. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, God. Well, praise the Lord God Almighty. I think finishing up the journey of faith was bitter and sweet for me because it's absolutely probably the top favorite teaching that I've been through, give and given and still give. And I know that God's moving us into this study on Joseph for reasons that we will yet to see. But today as we start Joseph, we're going to be talking about him for about 5 weeks. And we want to just be introduced today. There's a little bit of revelation here, but I think it's important to take the time to be introduced to his life. There was more written about Joseph than anybody else in the Old Testament. Abraham, we spent 12 weeks on Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, or Israel, when God changed Jacob's name to Israel, and Joseph, his 11th son. So Joseph is the great-grandson, the 11th great-grandson of Abraham. So he had a legacy of faith, right? How would you like to have had Abraham as your grandfather, your great-grandfather, somebody to rely on, you know? I never knew my grandparents. I knew one. I met one when I was 10 years old, but three of them I never knew. They'd all passed on when I was born. And so I had in-laws that filled that void. Wonderful in-laws that just loved on me and were filled with the Spirit and were part of the birthing of Living Word Church International. And I'm thankful for that legacy. But as we move into the journey of Joseph's life, may God just add revelation to what he's doing in this house. And so we're going to pick up the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. We're going to read the first 11 verses in Genesis 37. Now, I've got blanks in there. That's for everybody. We're going to emphasize some things today. I just want to tell you there was a Spirit of God that was released in our service right before this one. You guys are a part of that. You don't see everything. You don't hear everything. But I'm telling you, there was a Spirit that was released, a good Spirit that was released to set some people free. He saw it. Just amazing. So, Father, make this word happen in our lives. Now, Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And this is the history of Jacob. Joseph, his son, 17-year-old, 11th son, was feeding the flock with his brothers, farmers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. Jacob had four wives, kind of got things messed up a little bit. Joseph brought a bad report to his father. Okay, now get what this is. What happens when the younger sibling goes up to mom and dad and goes, "Do you know what they did? Yiddy, yiddy." What's that called? Tattletale. Thank you. So Joseph was being a tattletale. And you know what siblings like about tattletales, don't you? They want to tie them in a knot and roll them in the dirt and send them out the back door, right? Come on. So there we are, verse 2. Verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his other children, because he was the son of his old age. And he also made him a tunic of many colors, the coat of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, say it with me, they hated him. You talk about a demonic foothold into a family. It comes with envy and strife, confusion, every evil work, and it moves into hatred. There are people in the body of Christ that have moved into this realm that need to step away from it and walk in forgiveness. They hated him. And when you're offended or you're ticked off at somebody or somebody's been rubbing you the wrong way or they've been doing wrong things to you or saying wrong things about you, did I get enough of that? You can't speak peaceably about them. You can't say a good thing about them because you got problems in your heart towards that person. And so that's where it hit in the first service was, you can't go on like this. You got to leave it. You got to let it go. You got to just literally let it go. Forgive. Get grace. Verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream, okay? That's the first time where it said he was hated by his brothers. Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So if somebody's walking in hate, you can walk in a deeper hate, and a deeper one, and a deeper one. Lots of deep doo-doo here. Verse 6. So he said to them, "Hey, hear this dream that I've dreamed." And on the inside they're going, "I don't want to hear your dream." But he said it anyway. Verse 7. There they were, binding sheaves in the field. Behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to mine. Verse 8. And his brother said to him, Shall you indeed reign over us? Who do you think you are, you little squatty body? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? Who do you think you are, Jack? So they shouted out. They hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Seriously. Verse 9. And then he dreamed another dream. And he didn't learn from the first time to be careful who you share your dreams with. You share your dreams with people of faith. People who will rejoice with you. People who will uphold you. People who will walk with you and pray with you. Be careful who you share your dreams with. And he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I dreamed another dream. I know, you know. They were just going, oh God, would you deliver us from this brother of ours? Anyway, at this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. You're talking about a lot here. And he dreamed this other dream, and he told it to his brothers. I've dreamed another one. The sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. Verse 10. So he told it to his father and his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is your dream that you have dreamed? I want you to stop for a second. Joseph is known as the dreamer. Is anybody else in his family known that way? No. Because non-dreamers will always have an issue with dreamers because they don't have their own dreams. Good point, Michael. So what is this dream that you dream? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow down to the earth before you? Verse 11. And his brothers envied him. Hate will always move into envy, and envy will always move into hate. They envied him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. So may God add a blessing to the revelation that comes in this section of Scripture. So Joseph the dreamer, why dreams? Why does God give us dreams? I can tell you why. One of them is for direction. How many of you ever had a vision or dream for direction in your life? Somebody? A few? Yeah. I told you the story 2 years ago when I needed help at the office and I'm opening up my eyes in the middle of a dream and my bedroom's pitch black. My bedroom's never pitch black. I couldn't see anything. Pitch black. And all of a sudden, this name, Sandy, shows up in big block white letters in front of my eyes. Well, I knew who Sandy was. He used to be an employee of mine 35 years ago. So I guess I'm supposed to call Sandy. Right? Easy conclusion. I call Sandy. Hey, Sandy, how's it going? How's life? Hey, good to hear from you. Yada, yada, yada. Hey, you looking for a job? She said, yeah. Hired her a week later. Still working part-time for him. Dreams are great. Okay? God's good, isn't he? He doesn't always do that for me, but he did it for me that time, right? So, why dreams? Isaiah 46:10. I have next to Isaiah 46:10, dreams can be a revelation of our destinies. Hallelujah. Declaring the end from the beginning. That's all we need on there. Declaring the end. The end of the dream to the beginning. He gives you the beginning so you can declare the end. That make sense? All right. Unfortunately, Joseph's brothers didn't even know their own dreams. Number two, there's not numbers here, but all greatness begins with a dream. Jesus said, or the scripture says about Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, I'm saving the rest of it, despising the shame. He knew what he was going to go through. But what was his focus? It wasn't necessarily straight on the cross. It was the victory of the cross. He was looking past it. That was his dream. His dream was to be past it. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Woo-hoo.
Hallelujah. So, all greatness begins with a dream. Do you think that Michael Phelps ever dreamed of wearing 18 Olympic gold medals around his neck? Yes. He dreamed every one of those gold medals. Everyone. There was never a doubt in his mind that he was going to win gold medals. So he paid the price. And everybody else, other people, your own life, education, jobs, family. It wasn't just about him, but I'm just saying I use that for an illustration, that he dreamed the dream, right? Okay? When I was 14, I dreamed the dream of going to the National Junior Olympics. And I had a coach. I said, I want to go. He said, okay, let's work towards that. Went to the regional meetup in Kansas City, got first place, got a free trip to the National Junior Olympics, Knoxville, Tennessee. I got to fly there for free. First time I was ever on a plane, Delta Airlines. Yeah, Delta Airlines. I got to stay on the campus there and compete with people all around the country. And that was cool. But I dreamed it at the beginning of the summer. I dreamed it, right? When I was going to apply for professional school, I had to dream. You know, so when we do things, we have to dream that. That's come from God. Hallelujah. He gives us dreams to direct and energize us. Really? Let's look at Romans 8:28. This is a very familiar scripture. And we know that all things, how many things? I didn't hear that well enough. How many things? All things. Come on. I know not a lot of you here, but anyway. All things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. We know that all things work. Everyone say work. Work here is the Greek word synergos, of which we get our English word synergy. What is synergy? Synergy is when everything's working together for a completed end. Back when we used to have mechanical watches, all the little dials and everything and the notches, I can't say what I want to say, but anyway, all those little things that were in there that made it work. They worked in synergy. They worked in unison, okay? And see, that's what God does. He makes every circumstance work for our good in synergy, yeah, and make it come to pass, okay? And so what about the energize? Anybody want more energy? Anybody want more energy? Be honest with me. Who wants more energy? Well, here it is. Ephesians 1:11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, the dreams that we have, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. The word works there is energio. Energy. God has the energy for us to do his work and his will. Good stuff. Good word, Michael. Let's go. So, another thing. Joseph's non-dreaming brothers were jealous, envious, mad, and offended. James 3:16. Interesting number, isn't it? James 3:16 says this. Where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and some evil work. Where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. And it starts with being offended. We taught that in the last study. People who walk in offense open themselves up to demons. Isn't what that word means? Isn't that what that means? Demons? Yeah. Yeah. I watched it this morning. I watched somebody wrestle with that right from my eyes. Envy, strife, confusion, and every evil word. So if somebody steps on your toe and it makes you mad and you get all bummed out about it, stop it. If somebody says something wrong or if somebody does wrong to you, stop it. Just stop it. Go to God. forgive him. To God, I forgive him. You don't want to. The flesh goes, but you say it out loud anyway. You say it out loud. You say it out loud. I forgive him. I forgive him. I forgive him. Say it out loud 1,000 times if you have to, if there's an offense. Say it out loud. I forgive them. I have forgiven them. I am free from that. Amen? Oh, we could just do that all the time. Now, obviously, there was a dysfunction in the family. It was really funky, dysfunctional. But that family dysfunction in Joseph's life did not disqualify him to do great things for God. Yes! It's awesome! No matter what your brothers, your sisters, and whether it's mom or dad, grandma, just do great things for God. That's all. Right? And the greater the dream, the harder the journey. The bigger the dream, the harder the journey. That's simple. And Joseph, this type of Christ, when we relate Joseph to Christ, both of them, this was really interesting. I learned a couple things here. They both were sold out for silver. They both were stripped naked. They both were bound up. They both were condemned with two other criminals, and they were both destined to save the planet. I knew the last one, but I didn't know some of the other ones, right? Because we're going to get into this as time goes on. So, all right, let's just look at the other brothers for half a minute. Non-dreamers, people that don't dream. Sorry, Ron and Marianne, I want to use you for an example. Do you think Ron and Marianne love to dream about things in Guatemala? They dream about it all the time. It's on their mind. I bet hardly a day goes by and Guatemala, the mission trips just don't go away. They're there. They're there. They're in your spirit. It goes to your mind. Your mind gets straightened out. So determine in your mind not to be a Joseph's brother. Choose not to be offended. Choose not to mock a dreamer, somebody that dreams. Now let's talk for just a half a minute about the coat of many colors. This is just because it was mentioned in this section. But really, the coat of many colors symbolizes God's favor. Everyone say God's favor. I'd rather have God's favor than all the riches of the world. God's favor is powerful. And I love Psalm 5, I think it is, verse 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor and surround us as with a shield. It's one of our daily quotes. We pray for favor every day. Thank you, God, that you've surrounded us with your favor. Hallelujah. So I want to end this morning on Jeremiah 29:11. It's a very popular scripture that's used a lot around graduation times. And I found this quoted in the Message Bible, and I really like this. If something ain't going right, this first sentence is really, really good. This is God saying, you know what, son or daughter? I know what I'm doing. When does God not know what he's doing? I know what I'm doing. But we need to be reminded, God says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. What do you have planned out, God? Plans to take care of you. Somebody ought to be shouting hallelujah. He wants to take care of us. He's got it all planned out how he's going to take care of us. And if something doesn't work out, he's got plan B. I take plan B of God's over plan A of the devil. Good word. Plans to take care of you. Plans not to abandon you, but plans to give you the future and the hope that you are looking for. High five with God on that one. I love it. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you. You feel like God's going to take care of us? Well, good. Let's stand. So, Lord, I can't thank you enough for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that you've got great plans in store for us. And if I take the word plan out, you've got greatness in store for us. In our own spheres of influence, you have greatness planned out for us. So we want to walk in that spirit of greatness. We don't care what the world says. We don't need to be. We don't want to self-lift ourselves up. But when your greatness is on us, you get the glory, not us. It's your greatness for your glory. So, Father, I pray for an increase of that in our lives today. And, Lord, as we go through this study on Joseph, I just pray, Father, that we would dream more, that, Father, we would hold on to the dreams we've had, that we'd attach our faith to the dreams that we've had for maybe short months, weeks, years, however long, decades, Lord, that, God, you would resurrect those dreams that need to be resurrected, God, and we'll attach our faith to them. And so I thank you for that. Now, Father, give us the wisdom as we go about our day and week this week, Lord. We thank you, God. I'm looking for great testimonies, Lord, of great things that are happening. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen, 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 amen. So go and serve the Lord. Have a great week.